Good morning, people of God.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Grateful.
Awesome. That's good. What a great day. I'm grateful for the great day it's starting out to be. I'm grateful to have John Sutherland with us this morning, our assistant to the bishop. He'll be bringing his message. He's kind of colorful today.
Mm-hmm. Very colorful.
Very colorful. Brings out the shades of your cheeks.
Something has to?
Okay. So there's a number of things happening this morning, and we're grateful for the kids who are leading worship today. And by the way, Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Let's worship. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave birth our light and our salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Christ in the waters of baptism. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed in God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism.
We give you thanks, Holy and gracious God, for you created the waters of the earth, wide oceans, rushing streams, clear lakes, mighty rivers. You led your people through the sea and brought them into life and covenant with you. Your Son was baptized in the river Jordan to begin his mission among us. You pour out your Holy Spirit to give you the face of the earth. Through this water, remind us of the gift of baptism.
Almighty God, who gives us a new birth by water and the Holy Spirit and forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in the goodness and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share peace of Christ we have through his forgiveness with one another. Be with you.
All right, Sophie's here.
Thank you. first reading at 10:44-48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. Some Jewish believers have come with Peter. They were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They have heard them speaking in languages they have not known before. They also heard them praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can keep these people from being baptized with water. They have received that the Holy Spirit just as we have, so he ordered that they be baptized with in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Sing a new song to the Lord. He has done wonderful things.
By the power of his right hand and his holy arm, he has saved his people.
The Lord has made known his power to save. He has shown the nations that he does what is right.
He has shown his faithful love to the people of Israel.
People from one end of the earth to the other have seen that our God has saved us.
Shout for joy to the Lord, everyone on earth, rejoice in joyful songs, make music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp. Sing and make music with the harp.
Blow the trumpets, give the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy to the Lord, he is the King.
Let the ocean and everything in it roar. Let the world and who live in it shout.
Let the rivers slap their hands. Let the mountains sing together with joy.
Let them sing to the Lord. Jesus is coming to judge the earth.
He will judge the nations of the world in keeping with what is right and fair.
Second reading, John chapter 5. 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is a child of God. And everyone who loves the faith, the Father loves his children as well. Here we know that we love God's children. We know it when we love God and obey his commands. In fact, here is what it means to love God. We love him by obeying his commands, and his commands are not hard to obey. That's because everyone who is a child of God has won the battle over the world. Our faith has won the battle for us. Who is it that has won the battle over the world? Only the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ was born as we are, and he died on the cross. He wasn't just about him. That's because the Spirit is the truth, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 15. Just as the Father has loved me, I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. In the same way, I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you will have the same joy that I have. I also want your joy to be complete. Here's my command. Love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than the one who gives their life for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I do not call you slaves anymore. Slaves do not know their master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. I have told you everything I learned from my Father. You did not choose me. Instead, I chose you. I appoint you so that you might go bear and bear fruit that will last. I also appoint you so that the Father will give you what you ask for. He will give you whatever you ask for in my name. Here is my command. Love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
Can you hear me yet? Yeah, there we go. Good morning. So, we just read a couple lessons about loving one another, and we've talked a lot about different ways that we can love everybody, right? I mean, there's lots of ways to show love, helping and caring and so on. Well, last week we did some learning. We did that water walk, right? We talked about how some people have to walk a really, really long way to get water. Well, I have a story just about that. Feels funny. There we go. And so I thought I would come and read it to you. I'm going to try to hold the pictures out as best I can. It's called The Water Princess. Do you want to come on over here? Kyle, come on over here. Come sit right over here. Then you can see really well. Hi, guys. Can you see back there? Can you see Cash? Yeah? Okay, good. The Water Princess. I am Princess Gigi. My kingdom, the African sky, so wide and so close, I can almost touch the sharp edges of the stars. I can tame the wild dogs with my song. I can make the tall grass sway when I dance. I can make the wind play hide and seek. But I cannot make the water come closer. I cannot make the water run clearer, no matter what I command. It is early morning, still dark. My mother wakes me. Gigi, my princess, it is time to get up. We must collect the water. Can you see? Water. Come, do not make me wake before even the sun is out of bed, I demand. Come, please, I say. But the water won't listen, and I know we will have to walk far to the well. I am too sleepy to put on my crown. I think of the pot that will rest on my braids instead. The thirst comes quick, dry lips. Dry throat. I squeeze my eyes shut. I see it clear. I dip my toes in it, cool. I scoop it up and bring it to my lips. Slowly, I open my eyes. Nothing. I kick the dust. Oops. I grab my empty pot and place it upon my head. My mother does the same, and our journey begins, full of song. My maman adds her melody. Our steps are light, We twirl and laugh together. The miles give us room to dance. Halfway there, we stop for a moment at the giant karite tree, long enough to grab a handful of sweet shea nuts for energy. We keep the dance going just a little longer. Maman, are we there yet? Finally, I hear the water running from the well, the giggles of my friends, the chatter of women. Some have traveled further than I, only to return home when the sun has gone to bed. Maman holds our place while I play with friends. The dance continues. The water is flowing. Pots filling with dusty earth-colored liquid. Gigi, come! My turn now. The dance home has slowed to careful steps. My thirst so heavy, like the full pot I carry. Our song is softer now. Our shoulders ache. Our feet cramp. I see home at last. Maman boils enough water for drinking. We wait. We wash our clothes. We prepare food for cooking. My father comes quickly from the fields to share in the drink and the meal. He scoops me up. My princess, you have returned with the water. Drink, Maman says. Finally. Every sip fills me with energy. I want to make it last, but I can't. I gulp it down. Clothes and body clean, I sing to the dogs. I dance with the tall grass. I hide from the wind. Maman brings one last cup she has saved just for me. Drink, my princess. Sleep, my princess. Tomorrow we journey again. Maman, I say as we close my eyes, why is the water so far? Why is the water not clear? Where is our water? Sleep, she says. Dream, she says. Someday you will find a way, my princess. Someday. I am Princess Gigi. My kingdom, the African sky, the dusty earth, and someday, flowing, cool, crystal clear water. Someday. That's a real story. And we'll leave it at that.
All right, guys. If you want to sit down in the pews, you can. Okay? We're going to listen to Mr. Daniel for a bit.
Well, good morning, Saints of Christ Lutheran and Menominee.
Good morning.
That's good. As you know, you might know, I'm John Sutherland. I'm one of the assistants to the Bishop of the Northwest Synod of Wisconsin, otherwise known as one of Rick Hoimy's minions. And I've been here before, but not so colorfully dressed or attired. Before we begin the message, I will do the synodical commercial. Don't worry, you'll be home by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I promise. Northwest Synod of Wisconsin is comprised of 199 congregations, so that means there's 198 other congregations besides you wonderful folks of Christ Lutheran in Menominee. And we have a staff, a full-time staff of Bishop Hoimy, my colleagues Lori Scowl Anderson, Greg Kaufman, myself, and Liz Bartsch, who is the assistant to the bishop administrative, and she's really the bishop, we say, in the office because she knows absolutely everything. And then we have Laura Ramlo, who's our synod communicator. and we all strive to serve you, the saints of the Northwest League of Wisconsin and of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and then also the ELCM, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Malawi. Primarily, my role is I have three main categories. I'm the Malawi guy, the Synod Companion Coordinator. And so when you think of Malawi, think of this mug. Don't think of the shirt. Well, you can think of the shirt. It's better than the mug. But anyway, it's my great honor and privilege to have gone to Malawi a few times and to work with our brothers and sisters there. And I've had people from Christ Lutheran in Malawi with me, and they can tell you what an incredible, wonderful experience it is. And I invite folks to consider going in the summer of 2019. There'll be another trip available to folks in the Synod, so please consider going there. And I'll speak a little bit more about Malawi in the message, but I also work with what's called candidacy. In the ELCA, we have two public rostered ministers. One is you can be consecrated as a deacon into word and service ministry. That is, you probably have, those folks do a lot of teaching, a lot of social work, nursing, counseling, but they're not ordained into word and sacrament like Pastor Randy and myself are. And if you're ordained in the word and sacrament, you can wear funny clothes and you get to preach, although deacons get to preach too, but you also get to preside over baptism and communion. Now, if you feel the Holy Spirit leading you into public ministry, please talk to Pastor Randy about the sense of call, but not about the process. The process is convoluted. We have 8 different seminaries with all have different programs and requirements, and they tailor make them to every student. And so there are a lot of I's to dot, lots of T's to cross. It's a process that really needs management, and that's my job. And it's changed so much since our pastors have gone to seminary that really you can't talk to them about the process, but again, about call. But if you feel called, certainly call me about process, and I'll also be happy to talk to you about a sense of call, but please go to your pastor as well and talk to him about a sense of call and whether or not you really, really want to join this wonderful, wonderful, crazy life of public ministry. Also, I work with congregations in transition. Congregations sometimes are without a pastor or leader for various reasons. Sometimes they take a new call. Sometimes they join the Saints in Light. Sometimes they're removed from roster for other reasons. But for different reasons, congregations are sometimes without a pastor. My colleague Greg Kaufman and I will help congregations in the transition time, and that's also a lot of fun and very, very rewarding. I also do conflict management with a ministry called Bridge Builders and Healthy Start. And finally, I do whatever else Bishop Hoyme asks me to do, because assistant is in my title. And so when he says jump, I say, how high, sir? And it's never that way. He's a really, really nice guy. But anyway, thank you for letting me return to Christ this morning. That's not bad for the commercial, is it? Okay, I'm looking at the clock. I see it. I can be long-winded, especially when it comes to Malawi, so I'll try my best not to be. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. I shared this with the saints of Bethany in Rice Lake last week, and I also shared it with my colleagues at the Winter Theo Retreat, and I'll tell this truth. I'm not going to give the same sermon, but I'll give the same fact, and that is, for some reason, I feel closest to God when I'm in Malawi. And I really don't know how to explain it. But for some reason, when I'm in Malawi, all that we profess with our words somehow comes really from the heart. And everything I've been taught in Sunday school and confirmation and seminary, everything I professed from the pulpit myself seems to have this like concrete reality. And it's like a moment of 2 weeks of goosebumps. Yet for some reason, Jesus is there with me in Malawi. And I feel Jesus' presence there more so than I do here. And I wish I could explain it, but how does one explain the inexplicable? And I wish that I could just say exactly how I feel, but words fail me. It's one of those things where you almost have to be me and be there to get. But let me tell you, without a doubt, Malawi always changes me for the better. And it's where I really, really feel closest to God. And I wondered before if it's because it's a simpler life there in some ways. And we tend to romanticize the simple life. And I used to tell people that going to Malawi was like stepping back into my grandparents' time, because most folks there cook over wood or over charcoal. Only 10% of the population has access to electricity, and that's not always a stable thing. There is no indoor plumbing, so people use privies or outhouses. If you don't have electricity, you don't have a lot of screen time. And so what really, really becomes important is relationships. And you can't, as frustrating as it is for me, be in a hurry. I'm one of those New York type of minute people. I make New Yorkers look slow. I'm so type A in personality. And I always have this driven force. I'm going to go across the compound on the long way, which is our companion synod's, you know, main place in Malawi. And I'll be a 100-yard walk, and I want to be there in 30 seconds, but it's going to take me 20 minutes because people are going to talk to me. Because that's what's important, is relationship. And so I thought to myself, well, perhaps I feel closest to Jesus because of the simple lifestyle. But I thought, no. How can we really romanticize that? Because really, privies are outhouses are because there's no running water. Which means that young girls and young women are deprived of education because they spend their days hauling water. And often they're subject to sexual assault and violence. There's nothing romantic about that. And I thought to myself, well, maybe cooking over wood. But what's romantic about deforestation, which happens because you need to have the charcoal and wood to burn, causing not only floodplains, but massive air pollution? There's nothing romantic about that at all. What about the lack of electricity? Well, it just testifies that Malawi is a developing nation, either fourth or fifth poorest any day of the week in the world. It's a population of orphans, 18 million, 10 million below the age of 18, missing generations because of HIV, AIDS, and malaria. How can we romanticize mass poverty that makes even simple things like napkins or a piece of paper a luxury item? Truth is, we can't romanticize those things. And we can't say that's why people in Malawi are so close to God. I think sometimes we have that idea that, okay, they're more dependent on God because they don't have anything, and maybe I'm tapping into that, but no, that's not right either. So what is it? Why do we feel closer to God, closer to Jesus in some places than we do at others? And I wonder if it's a sense of vulnerability. You can't help but notice a shirt, right? You stick out when you wear a shirt like this. And everyone sees you as the outsider or as the stranger. I want to hearken back to our first reading today from Acts. And I wish the lectionary had given us the whole story, because it's an incredible story. And I encourage you to go home and read your Bibles, Acts 10, actually begin the second half of 9 and go into 11 as well to get the complete story. But it's an incredible story. It's really about Cornelius, who's a Roman officer stationed in Caesarea. And he's a Gentile, he's not a Jew, and he, though, has a faith that even his Jewish neighbors recognize. And one day he has this incredible vision of a man named Peter, of all things, coming to him. And he's so disturbed by it, he says to his servants, hey, go, because this angel told me to send for Peter in the city of Joppa, which is, you know, more than a day's walk away, and bring him to me. And so his servants do. And as his servants are approaching Peter's house, he's dreaming and praying, and he sees this vision of this huge, huge sheet-like come down from heaven. And it's filled with all the animals of the world. And the voice says to Peter, "Get up, you're hungry, get up and kill something and eat." And Peter says, "No, nothing unclean is going to go into me." And the vision, God, the angel says, "Hey, what I've made clean, don't call unclean." And it happens three times. And just when the vision ends, Cornelius' servants come. And Peter says, "Well, hey, what's this all about?" And they explain to him. He invites them in. They spend the night. And the next day, they go back to Caesarea. And they have this incredible conversation. And Cornelius and his household are eventually baptized. But what's strange, what's really, really radical about the story, besides the visions, is that Peter took the risk of going into strange territory. He was very, very vulnerable. He broke all the laws of his faith. He even says in the exchange, "It's not lawful for me to be here." But he says, God is up to something. And in that risk of being vulnerable, in receiving that hospitality of Cornelius and his family, and in the conversation that follows, all are changed. And I think that's what happens to us when we go into Malawi or other places outside of our comfort zone. We become dependent upon the hospitality of strangers and thus the hospitality of God. See, God above all is hospitable. God above all is providing. God above all is present. And sometimes I believe that when we get outside of our comfort zone, when we go into a place that we aren't really familiar with, when we are in a completely different frame of mind, and when we can put on the role of not being the leader, but being the guest, the receiver, then I think we can have that aha, oh my gosh, everything we've been taught in Sunday school, everything our pastor has said, everything we've learned in confirmation, well, not everything, because we always have questions and doubts, and we should have, but the faith becomes real. It becomes somehow more concrete. It makes sense of why we gather for word and sacrament, why we gather for fellowship, why we are called children of God. Because that's what we are. And the strange thing is, when we dare go outside of our comfort zones, even if we go into a different culture and a place far, far, far away, even though we recognize the different cultures, and we can marvel at our differences, what becomes most apparent are our similarities. That we're the same the world over. Despite culture, despite color, despite language, we are the same. All dependent upon the grace and mercy of Christ. Dependent upon that incredible gift given freely out of love. I think perhaps one of the problems in our country and in our culture is we have a false narrative when it comes to Christianity. We have a whole branch that seems to speak for all of us, which gets it wrong. For there is no climbing our way into heaven. We can't do enough good works to get ourselves there. There's no Jacob's ladder. There's no heavenly bank account. There's not if I do this, do this, do this, do this, and do this, okay, then I'm good in God's sight. No. I don't know about you, but I've already sinned more times today than I can count. We're never going to get it right. That's why we need the gift of grace. That's why we need the gift of mercy. That's why we need our incredible, wonderful Lutheran theology that says, by faith alone through Christ, we are saved. And maybe that becomes more concrete when we dare to exit our comfort zone. The thing is, we do not have to go far away to leave our comfort zone. We don't have to go to Malawi, although I wish you would and could. We don't have to go to another state even. We really can encounter the stranger, the unknown person right here in Menominee. And when we get to know them and get to know our similarities, then we also get to understand how much we all need God and how very and real present God is. Remember that, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. In Malawi, we say God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So let's practice it now. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
That's true there, but it's true here as well. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. With that, please, let us leave our comfort zones. Let us go to the stranger. And encountering the stranger, we'll encounter God. And it will all make sense. It really will. And if it doesn't make sense, at least it'll seem real. Because it is real. And with that, what else can we say but to God be the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Continue our worship of God through our offerings. The noisy offering today will be gathered for the ELCA Project Lab's Global Barnyard and will be combined with other congregational fundraiser efforts. Our goal is a $715 farm. Our contribution will be taken to the ELCA National Youth Gathering this summer in Houston. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become bread, one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
Rejoicing in life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we pray for the witness of the church, the wholeness of creation, and all who are in need. Holy God, your voice calls us to worship, where discord bellows within the church. Unite us in harmony, where we lack in direction, guide us in singing your song with our unique voices. Lord, in your mercy. Creative Lord, your melodies formed the earth and all that is in it. Receive the roar of the sea and the rhythmic clap of the rivers. Rejoice as the hills ring out in praise. Lord, in your mercy. Holy One, you hear all our moans and groans, where lament and the blues resound. Send us to listen, send us to comfort, send us to build relationships rooted in your justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy. Serenade the estranged and all who suffer alone. Accompany high-functioning addicts and the frightened who have no one to turn to. Give rest to overworked caregivers and people living with schizophrenia. Today we pray especially for Robert, Maxine, Kathy, Gordon, Luxon, Gordon and Carolyn, Kaya, Dick, Maxine, Ray, Arnold, Ray, Sean, Lavone, Libby, Sam, our companion congregation in Malawi, and Abusa Francis, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Lord, in your mercy. Internal song. You call us to share our gifts for your glory. We thank you and praise you for our musicians and vocalists, choir directors and hymn writers. Bless all who lead and all who sing in worship. Lord, in your mercy. Your goodness echoes through all time with songs of the saints. Thank you for all the disciples who have mentored us through their gift of music. Keep your song within us this day and always. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust all of our prayers to you, gracious God. Receive them by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Oh.
As we gather as God's people, we gather around a table that our Lord Jesus sets for us and invites us to come. And at this table, we remember that in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And when the meal had ended, he took the cup. He gave thanks and gave it for them all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. It's shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. God gives food to those who hunger, so come, be fed, and healed. It's been set for you. Today will be processional lines, and please take a glass down by the baptismal font as you come forward and receive on either side at either station. So come, it's for you. Lay the body of Christ given for you. Stand the body of Christ given for you. Take the body of Christ given for you. Man the body of Christ given for you. Let the body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you, lady. Heart of the body of Christ given for you. It's the blood of Christ shed 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 for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. I invite you to stand as you're able. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in His grace and His peace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings. In this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord.
Amen. Like children in the arms of Jesus, receive blessings. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with mercy and grace. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We sing our ascending song.
Jesus, send me, Jesus, send me, Jesus, send me. Lead me, Lord, lead me, Jesus. Lead me, Jesus, lead me, Jesus. Lead me, fill me, Lord, fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus, fill me, Jesus, fill me, Lord.
You may be seated. Just a few announcements here before we get going. By the way, I figured, you know, we've stacked up enough extra time at other services. So we're just evening things out here. Anyway, just a couple things. First of all, thank you, John, for being here. Oh yeah, you better do it.
Yeah, I better do it.
So John, what do you got there?
What I have here is my mic on. Yeah. You can hear me? Great. I have here is a children's book called A Malawi Welcome: Life in the Warm Heart of Africa. It was written by my predecessor in the job, Diane Kaufman. She used to be companion sitting coordinator. And all the illustrations are actual paintings of photographs she took by an artist in our synod. Her name is Janelle Thompson. It's a beautiful, beautiful children's book. Very, very informative about Malawi and companionship. And it's such a steal. I know there's nothing else being sold today. I know there's other stuff going on. But $20, no holler. Okay? And you can either write a check out to Northwest Synod of Wisconsin, and on the memo line, put a book, so we know, you know, what it goes for. And all the proceeds actually go towards literacy training in Malawi. And it's not in-house. It's all the funds will go back to Malawi, teach people, basically women and children, how to read. But it's open to anyone. If men don't know how to read, they certainly can also participate in the program as well. If you don't have a check on you, if you don't have cash, you can order it online tomorrow at the Synod website. And you can use PayPal and just take care of it that way. But if you want to have a copy today, I have two cases with me. I'll be around for the fellowship hour. $20, and I'd love to have these books distributed. I'd love to have your grandchildren have books. I'd love to have your children have books. I'd love to have your nieces and nephews have books. Your godchildren have books. Your neighbors have books. And I know I'm looking at the clock, but buy a book.
As Ardith is coming up here, I want to just point you to something that we've added to the sanctuary. If you look over here, you see there's a cross with, I think, for candles. We've set this up as a prayer station. If you can come in anytime you want to, light a candle and meditate and pray. That cross was made by Tom Bartles and a young man that he's mentoring. It's really kind of a wonderful gift, but we're leaving it up as an option. And we have had some people come in and just sit there. There's a kneeler, or you can sit on the cushion, whatever you want. But you can light candles and just pray and meditate. Arlen.
Good morning. I want to remind, we have the mission bake sale, and I also, we have some thrift sale items left, quilts, baby quilts, and some plants. The thrift sale items will be half price today. And I also want to thank all the people, the women that put in so many hours this week. It was remarkable that we had such good workers, and we did very well. Even yesterday, we didn't know for sure if we should be open or not, but we did good. So once again, thank you so much for all the time that you put in. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Carla. Just a couple another types of things here too. Our sympathy to Jerry and the loss of his brother, and also our sympathy to Bob and Robin Nelson on the loss of Robin's brother. Are there any other announcements that need to be... Yes, Joe.
There is the prom for adults with disabilities this afternoon.
And our grand march is at 2 o'clock. And if anybody wants to stop by and watch the grand march, it's really fabulous. And it's great to have a big crowd for everyone to show off their twirly dresses and stuff. Mm-hmm. So start at the house, 2 o'clock.
Very, very good. Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Any other announcements this morning? Well, if not, well, you know what time it is. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, by the way, Christ is risen.